ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The body of Pope Francis brought to St. Peter's Basilica this morning in a solemn ceremony. He will lie in state there for 3 days until his funeral on Saturday.
What comes next after Saturday's funeral and burial? The conclave, that ancient process, all the cardinals gathering in the Sistine Chapel, sworn to secrecy to choose the next pope. No date for that has been set yet. Vatican rules say it should be 15 to 20 days after the death of a pope.
ABC's Terry Moran at the Vatican. Evacuation orders have been lifted for thousands who were told to leave their homes because of a fast-moving wildfire along the Jersey Shore. The busy Garden State Parkway in New Jersey shut down because of smoke. The fire about 10% contained. An earthquake with a preliminary magnitude of 6.2 shook Istanbul, Turkey today, leading people to rush out of homes and buildings in a panic. Despite some strong aftershocks, no reports of damage or injury. Stock futures pointing toward a higher open this morning. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The State Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection is warning of possible scams regarding transportation, both on the way to and into Green Bay. DATCAP says you should be on the lookout for fake QR codes on parking meters, invalid parking spaces, or fake parking tickets. Green Bay Metro will provide a free bus route from downtown Green Bay to the draft event grounds in the Titletown District. The Brown County Tavern League will also be providing free shuttles to and from participating locations. More info on draft transportation can be found by downloading the NFL OnePass app or visiting greenbay.com. Governor Tony Evers signed an executive order for the flags of the United States and the state of Wisconsin to be flown at half staff in remembrance of Pope Francis, who died Monday at the age of 88. The President of the United States has directed that the flag of the United States be flown at half staff at all public buildings and grounds in honor of Pope Francis until sunset on the day of his burial. The UW-Madison Division of Extension, Vernon and La Crosse Counties will host a regional housing summit series Tuesday, May 6th from 8:30 to 3:15 at the Hillsboro Brewing Company in Hillsboro. The registration fee is $25. Register online by Thursday, April 24th, at the Driftless Rural Housing Summit. In-person registrations may occur on the day of the event. Contact Hannah McKeever for more details. The Boaz Lions Club will host its Scholarship Pancake Supper Thursday from 4 to 7 at the Boaz Community Building. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
A big night for Brewer batters. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Bryce Terang had four hits. Jake Bowers, a two-run homer. Christian Yelich, a grand slam that sailed 407 feet. The Brewers beat the Giants 11-3 in San Francisco. Jose Quintana allowing just one run over six innings. He's now 3-0. Is he the best pitcher the Brewers have right now? Pat Murphy.
He is. I mean, he's only, how many starts has he made for us?
30.
I feel like he's made 30 for us because it's just like he gives you an understanding of like, I know how to pitch. I know how to get out of this thing. I know how to navigate through a lineup.
NBA, the Bucks losing again to the Pacers, 123-115. The series moves to Milwaukee Friday with Indy up 2-0. NFL draft in Green Bay. Players and families arriving for tomorrow night's first round.
It is pretty amazing just kind of seeing all this kind of come together. What a cool thing for the Packers and City of Green Bay, and really neat to see it all come together.
That's Packers GM Brian Gutekunst. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Scattered showers and thundershowers likely today, tonight, and again tomorrow. Our high today, upper 60s to low 70s with a light south breeze. Tonight, we're going to drop to around 50. Tomorrow, our high in the upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 45.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome three filmmakers from the Milwaukee Film Festival. Toby Jones and Ben Hansen join the show to talk about their film, AJ Goes to the Dog Park, and Mark Evans talks about his film, The Diamond King.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue. Good morning. It is 8:06, and it's nice to have you here up north on this Wednesday morning, April 23rd, 2025, as we grow the show from what had been Up North News Radio to now a three-hour program with some local cut-ins from around the Civic Media Radio Network. More guests, including William Garcia, who's coming up in just a few moments. He is one of the candidates running for chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. We will ask why. He's the current chair of the 3rd Congressional District Democratic Party and also is a vice chair in La Crosse County for the Democratic Party. So we'll certainly talk about issues all across greater Wisconsin when it comes to the Democratic Party having organization and outreach and what he would bring to the post if elected chair. Then at 8:30, we will have Melissa Baldoff. Listeners to Up North News Radio know that we typically heard from her on Wednesday mornings at 6:30. We're going to bump that over to 8:30 now on Wednesday mornings. We'll talk a little bit of climate, as we always do, but we'll also get into other political headlines as well, given her work as a political strategist, along with her hubs, Joe Zepecki, who will be with us tomorrow. He, too, is a candidate for a Democratic Party chair, and we are still working to set up something with Devin Remicker, who is the third announced candidate to this point. But for now, we just wanted to make sure we got to, you know, this third hour and got going. I mean, it's the third hour. If it's anything like the Today Show, I feel like Al Roker should be walking in here any minute here, Brittany Merlot. I have, and Sam's in Madison now. Sam runs the board during our third hour here so that Greg Bach can get ready for Matt and Air on Air, which follows next at 9 o'clock. So, Brittany, Sam, welcome to our new 8:06 gig over here.
We're glad excited to be here. I know.
We're looking forward to it. And so the big challenge, Brittany, for this hour is that I get 2 cups of coffee a day, and now I've got to make 2 cups of coffee stretch out over 3 hours. Instead of three, instead of two. So far, so good. Okay. I think I'm at the proper caffeination level. We'll see. But sometimes I do get a little worked up. But what do you got there?
I've got some iced coffee. I'm almost out. So I'm feeling you. We're almost at the end, right?
Yeah. See, I play barista every morning. I make sure that before Sherry leaves, she's had her 1 cup of coffee with breakfast. And then there's a tumbler of hot coffee. And then there's a tumbler of iced coffee for the drive up to Rice Lake. And so I'm glad to see somebody else is a nice coffee drinker this early in the morning, which has been a little weird when the temperatures have still been in the 20s and 30s. But we are finally coming up. Spring is finally sprung here, Brittany.
Finally. Yes, I know. Right. 34 degrees right now into Solon Springs. So flirting with that freezing mark far up north. Meanwhile, down south along the state line, 57 degrees right now into Monroe. So a huge difference across the state, but we are all warming up today. We've got this warm front lifting through, and that, of course, is going to be sparking up some scattered showers, maybe some thunderstorms this afternoon. None are expected to be severe, but of course, rain is in the forecast, especially as we go through the next 48 hours. So spots of sunshine are still out there today, but we are going to be stuck under more clouds than sun. Of course, scattered showers are going on in southwestern parts of the state this morning. They're going to be working their way towards Madison shortly and in towards Milwaukee as well. Well, up north, some spotty sprinkles this afternoon. And of course, like I said, some showers and storms, mainly between 2 to 5 today, are possible. But those high temperatures, they're sweet. Into the mid to upper 60s up north to low 70s down south. So we're finally feeling those nice conditions. We're going to hang on to the warmth tomorrow, too. It'll be partly sunny with rain really ramping up into that late evening and into early Friday. Of course, the timing couldn't be any worse with the NFL draft going on tomorrow and Friday. But of course, we are drying things out by Friday afternoon into our weekend. And we're moderating those temperatures, too, as we move into Sunday. So, yes, we will be cooler on Friday with highs in the mid to upper 50s for a lot of us. But by Saturday and Sunday, we're into those low to mid 60s with some 70s again, once again, south.
And you know, the nice thing about getting two visits with you now in the mornings is that on those mornings where things are a little crazy after 7 o'clock and I completely whiff on Rob in Tigerton, I've got a chance for redemption here. So Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. Now, an hour ago, it was partly cloudy and 36. He said, I got Molly my car fixed yesterday with a grease and an oil change. My brakes fixed. So my mechanic, Todd, did an awesome job on that. Monday, May 5th, he's got a colonoscopy scheduled at Theta Care in Shawano. Looking forward to that, he says. I don't know if that was sarcasm or not. And he says, I'm listening to you on my new iPad, and it sounds very awesome. And Melissa Kay was with the show earlier, and he said, the last time I saw Brittany and Melissa in person, I bought them a drink in Appleton on election night, which I know that you recall.
Yes, I do. It was wonderful to meet you, Rob. I love being able to meet the people, you know, that mean so much and really care about the weather, too. He's always on it. Rob is on it every day.
He is. He also says he has his diet sun drop. Of course, you have to have that in the Tigerton area. Mm-hmm. And he notes, and I just caught this out of the corner of my eye, too, saying, passing along the passing of Mike Patrick, who was the play-by-play announcer for ESPN Sunday Night Football from 1987 to 2005 and did some college basketball as well. So Rob from Tigerton not only brings us, you know, his own personal news, but passes along some other headlines along the day as well. Brittany, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
All right. It is 8:12 right now, and before we get to William Garcia, I just want to let you know that the Brewers were winners over the San Francisco Giants late last night, and it was a big margin thanks to a grand slam by Christian Yelich, a two-run homer by Jake Bowers. The Brewers beat the Giants 11-3. You can hear Game 3 of that series coming up. Coverage begins at 8:10 on several Civic Media stations, including Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, a couple of cities up north. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. The Bucks are down 0-2 in their playoff series, losing to Indiana last night 123-115. William Garcia is chair of the 3rd Congressional District Democratic Party and is a candidate for chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, with Ben Wickler stepping down. Convention delegates from around the party will gather in Wisconsin Dells in mid-June to choose their next party chair. William Garcia, good morning. Thank you for being here. Are you with us, William?
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yep. No, nice to have you here. I think we have a slight delay in my apologies.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you just fine. We have a little delay there, but let me put it out rather generically here and say, William, first off, make a pitch. Why'd you decide to run, and what do you think you would bring to the position of Democratic state chair?
I'm running because there is a disconnect between the state party and local county parties that must be fixed for the long-term health of the party. Basically, we're getting a lot of information and directives in a really top-down approach from the state party. That means the state party tells us exactly how to organize. They do all of our messaging. They basically tell us what to do. But they're not listening all the time to local people on the ground who know better how to talk to people in their community and how to organize in their community. Some examples. As chair of the third city, I'm in charge of a lot of rural areas. We have rural areas where you know, when we tell organizers to go door knock, it takes them an hour to knock four doors. And we have local people on the ground saying this is not an effective way of communicating and connecting with voters. There are better ways. So I am running in order to realign the state party to listen to county parties about how to do messaging and how to do organizing in their area. So I've essentially have a three-word platform: grow, persist, resist. Grow means I want to grow the county parties by giving them resources, tools, and infrastructure in order to talk to voters in their area in a way that will connect with voters and bring people into the party year round. Persist means I want to keep doing the great things that DPW already does. Things like fundraising. Wisconsin Democratic Party is a fundraising juggernaut, and I want to continue that progress. We desperately need those funds. I also want to persist in keeping the media focused on Wisconsin. Ben Wickler was incredible about going around the country and talking about what's happening in Wisconsin and why it's important. I also think DPW does a really great job of working with our candidates in the Assembly and the Senate, the State Senate, and I want to continue that close relationship. And finally, resist. I have to say, I've been disappointed with some of the national Democrats leaders who have been very timid in the face of Trump. I intend to be the strongest, loudest voice in Wisconsin against the Trump agenda and Republican policies that are hurting Wisconsin families. And that's basically my pitch.
It's a very healthy pitch. One from William Garcia, who chairs the 3rd Congressional District Democrats and is running for state party chair. And Tony puts up on YouTube. I love the idea of year-round organizing. It's something that I have been talking about for nearly 20 years here. And I know other people are having discussions, even as we speak, coming out of this last cycle, about year-round organizing, not just parachuting in at campaign time. And you, as somebody outstate, clearly have some thoughts on the need to do that all throughout Wisconsin.
So when we talk about year-round organizing, the first thing we have to do is redefine what organizing is. Right now, with the Democratic Party, organizing is essentially two things: the numbers of doors knocked and the numbers of phones called. And that is basically how we are defining organizing. Now, that definition of organizing does not work in a year-round context, because why on earth would I call someone right now and tell them to, you know, vote for, so-and-so in 2026? The person is just going to be befuddled and slightly annoyed to be getting that phone call. What year-round organizing should mean is bringing people into the county parties. That's what real year-round organizing is giving strength and power and true agency to local parties so that they can work in their community year-round, community service, community activism, working with our local politicians to get things done. And then by increasing the engagement at the local level, we increase our volunteer base, we increase our enthusiasm about the Democratic Party at the local level, and then when it does come time to knock on doors and make phone calls, we're not parachuting in. We are established in the community already. We're talking to people that we've talked to before, and that's how true year-round organizing is going to function.
And that's exactly what's being talked about by folks throughout Wisconsin, William Garcia among them, a candidate for Wisconsin Democratic Party chair, who we are talking to this morning. Before we go to a break, a reminder that tomorrow on the program, we will have Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski around 7:30. Her name has been bandied about for something that might be voted on at the state party convention as well. We'll ask her if she has any future plans that she would like to tell us more about. As mentioned already, Joseph Pecky will be here tomorrow. We'll have a discussion about Robert Kennedy Jr.'s rants about autism. We will have a guest who has some very strong feelings on the subject. And we actually heard some strong feelings last week from Emily Berge, a candidate for Congress, about Robert Kennedy Jr.'s remarks. And And Chad Holmes will be along tomorrow as well in the program. And a reminder for folks who'd been listening in this hour to Chad Holmes or to Earl Ingram, that Chad and Earl will continue to be integral parts of the mornings here on Civic Media and throughout the day, having the ability to work on some special projects along the way that don't just require a day-to-day show. So we're very glad about that. And again, still ahead this hour, Melissa Baldoff will talk about climate and James Kelly about news that he covers for Civic Media in the Chippewa Valley. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Your Republican Senator Howard Markline wants to unconstitutionally raise your utility bills after President Trump promised Wisconsin ratepayers he would cut energy bills in half. Trump's DOJ has already weighed in on ROFR legislation in other states and called out the significant harm it would cause consumers if passed. Call Senator Howard Markline at 608-266-0703 and tell him to stand with President Trump and the Constitution by voting no on ROFR. Paid for by the Electricity Transmission Competition Coalition.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so, they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem. Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health, but you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. News from the Center, WRCE. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The Social Security Administration has expressed its full support for President Trump's memorandum preventing illegal aliens from receiving Social Security benefits. This memorandum reinforces SSA's commitment to safeguarding taxpayer dollars and ensuring the integrity of the programs it administers. The president's memorandum directs SSA to take several key actions aimed at stopping illegal aliens and other ineligible people from obtaining benefits under the Social Security Act. They include expanding SSA's fraud prosecutor programs, investigating earnings reports of people 100 years old or older with mismatched records, considering reinstatement of SSA's civil monetary penalty program, and reinforcing program integrity measures so that only non-citizens who meet all eligibility requirements can receive benefits. SSA administers three essential programs under the Social Security Act that support the financial well-being of over 70 million individuals. The Old Age and Survivors Insurance Program, established in 1935, provides retirement and survivors benefits paying over $1.3 trillion in fiscal year 2024 to approximately 59 million beneficiaries monthly. The Disability Insurance Program, established in 1956, offers benefits to disabled workers and their families, issuing about $157 billion in fiscal year 2024 to over 8 million beneficiaries each month. The Supplemental Security Income Program, created in 1972, supports aged, blind, and disabled individuals with limited income, issuing around $56 billion in payments to 7.4 million recipients monthly, with some also receiving old age and survivor's insurance or disability insurance benefits. I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. I identify with that film in which there is an implicit reference to St. Francis. Those are the words of Pope Francis, who passed away last Monday at the age of 88. The Pope was referring to the film La Strada by Federico Fellini, which was his favorite. As it turns out, he was quite the cinema buff. The Pope said in an interview about 10 years ago he was always a fan of movies dating back to his childhood in South America, adding that he owes his love for the big screen to his parents for taking him to the theater at an early age. Pope Francis said he identified with the teachings of St. Francis of Assisi due to the themes of love and suffering. Probably no surprise, that was the inspiration for his chosen papal name. Video game adaptations are alive and well, and it seems they will be with us for a long time, or until they run out of video games to adapt. Universal Studios is jumping into said world and teaming up with director Michael Bay and producer Sydney Sweeney to bring OutRun to the big screen. There is no cast attached yet, as the project is in the early stages of development. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Scattered showers and thundershowers likely today, tonight, and again tomorrow. Our high today, upper 60s to low 70s with a light south breeze. Tonight, we're going to drop to around 50. Tomorrow, our high in the upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 45.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight. Your timing, Goodfellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad-lib to De Niro. He's like, security, and you're just like, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And Paul Hip, he said, make sure you don't call it ad-libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days, that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Check out my war plans. Pete Hegseth talking about first big strike against the Houthis in Yemen on Signal, two separate channels. Yes, the one you heard about before with the reporter on it. Oops-a-daisy. And now also his wife, his bro, and his lawyer who magically got hired by the Pentagon. This guy's judgment could not be worse. Do you think Hegseth should probably resign?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time at our new time slot, 2 until 4, and Matt Solomon from Cracked.com talking about SNL at 50. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
In the country. That distinction will go somewhere else. And when that happens, a significant amount of the money that is being poured into Wisconsin is going to go away. And if we have let county parties wither and die on the vine by using all of this money and building a completely separate organizing structure from the county parties, we are in massive amounts of trouble. And that's why I say that this is a problem that must be fixed for the long-term health of the party. We need a system that is vibrant and alive, whether or not we are getting huge donation dollars. Now, I want to bring in the huge donation dollars. I want to be real clear on that. I am signing yes. up for a significant amount of fundraising. That's going to be my life when I'm chair. But we need to build a system that can survive without it.
Right. Because, again, the you know, things have changed all along. But there is this mindset of, well, do you go looking for that one needle in the haystack outstate, you know, one or two more votes, or do you try to squeeze one or two more Democratic votes out of, you know, your larger cities, Madison, Milwaukee, Eau Claire? Again, I'm not here to judge that one is right or wrong, but you'd be wrong to focus on just one or the other.
Right. You have to do both. And that's why I'm talking about giving local counties more control over things like messaging. The message that works in Milwaukee is not the same one that works in Jackson County. And so what we need to be providing is messages that work in both, and letting the county party say, this is a message that's going to talk to voters in my neighborhood. And then we can disseminate from there. There are great things to talk about with Democrats. And why on earth are we not, for instance, right now in rural areas, why are we not blasting rural radio about all of the Trump policies that are hurting Wisconsin farmers? Happening all the time. We're not even talking about it.
No, and which is, again, part of my, where I'm thankful for Up North News and Civic Media, but there's more work to be done. William Garcia, one of the candidates for Wisconsin Democratic Party chair. William, thank you so much. Good to talk to you again.
Have a great day. Thanks so much.
All right, coming up next, Melissa Baldoff will have Climate Check and some more political headlines right after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. I identify with that film, in which there is an implicit reference to St. Francis. Those are the words of Pope Francis, who passed away last Monday at the age of 88. The Pope was referring to the film La Strada by Federico Fellini, which was his favorite. As it turns out, he was quite the cinema buff. The Pope said in an interview about 10 years ago he was always a fan of movies dating back to his childhood in South America, adding that he owes his love for the big screen to his parents for taking him to the theater at an early age. Pope Francis said he identified with the teachings of St. Francis of Assisi due to the themes of love and suffering. Probably no surprise, that was the inspiration for his chosen papal name. Video game adaptations are alive and well, and it seems they will be with us for a long time, or until they run out of video games to adapt. Universal Studios is jumping into said world and teaming up with director Michael Bay and producer Sydney Sweeney to bring OutRun to the big screen. There is no cast attached yet, as the project is in the early stages of development. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
tomorrow on the program, we'll have Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, who may be making some kind of an announcement ahead of the state Democratic convention. We'll be talking to Joe Zepecki, as usual on Thursdays, who's also running for state Democratic Party chair. And we will have Chad Holmes here as well. As mentioned with the restructuring of the Civic Media lineup, that will mean that folks like Chad Holmes will be dropping into this show, not just during local breaks throughout the show, but also on the main body of the network show. And having listened to Chad's show yesterday, I am quite confident that one of our topics tomorrow will be about Wausau Mayor Doug Dinney, who you will recall took it upon himself to remove a Dropbox for absentee ballots last year, something that should not be done, may even have been a criminal act. But the wheels of justice are grinding rather slowly, not just from a legal standpoint, but from the standpoint of the ethics board up in Wausau. Those members' terms are about to expire, I should say. But they can stay on the ethics board until the city council nominates and confirms their replacements. And yet, Doug Dinney took it upon himself recently to announce new appointments to the ethics board. Now, there's little to no chance that the city council is going to take those up and pass them, but that the mayor would even make those appointments of Republican stalwarts while he's awaiting the ethics board to review his actions, removing the absentee ballot drop box, isn't sitting well with some folks. Chad Holmes among them, and we will talk about that tomorrow here on the program. But we are joined now by Melissa Baldoff, who you'll now hear instead of at the really early hour at 6:30 for her and others at a more humane 8:30. Melissa, it's great to see you here.
It is great to be here. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you. Now, by and large, we talk about climate issues on Thursdays in our weekly Climate Check feature. It's a an area of focus for you professionally, but you have a very well-rounded career as a political strategist, as a staff member. You worked in Governor Evers' office for a time as well. So we get to expand the conversation a little bit more. So when we do turn to climate, we're going to talk about green schools in Wisconsin and a new way to recognize them, thanks to cuts from the Trump administration. But before we get to that and any other climate issues, I want to come back to your work with Governor Evers and the fact that he put out some guidance about what should happen in the workplace if there is some kind of an immigration raid from ICE, so that people know what their rights are. And that is getting some angry pushback from Republicans who say that the governor is trying to somehow circumvent, ICE and law and order. And I have to say, from what I know of the memo's comments and from what you know of the governor, he doesn't really strike me as somebody that's giving, extra legal advice.
I would just say this, that, we're in this situation where, Republicans are not looking to follow the law. They seem to have decided that innocent until proven guilty doesn't matter, doesn't mean a thing anymore. They are, just completely ignoring the Constitution, left and right, especially when it comes to immigration. We're seeing the just devastating effects of that, examples all the time here. So it makes all the sense in the world that anybody who is, leading a large workforce, is the executive of a large workforce like Governor Evers is. We have a large and wonderful workforce of state employees. And any responsible employer is going to want to make sure that their employees are safe and feel secure at work so they can do their jobs and have the guidance that they need to exercise their rights. And whether the Trump administration wants to accept it or not, people do have rights. And we have seen that ICE agents, you know, operating under the Trump administration policies, you know, are not always, you know, operating in ways that are, you know, conducive to people exercising their rights. And they want people to be confused. They want people to be scared. And it is incredibly important that everybody knows what their rights are and how to exercise those rights safely and responsibly. So, you know, it's unfortunately not a surprise that Republicans are mad. I mean, if Republicans in Wisconsin are mad about something with, you know, the governor has done all the time, they will never not be mad about something.
And it is fairly standard advice. It's a 5-point memo. It tells state employees to remain calm, immediately notify their supervisor, ask the agents to identify themselves, present documentation of why they are there. They are not to answer questions from the agents, and they are not to give them permission to enter non-public areas and not give them access to paper files or computer systems without first talking to an attorney, because as the memo points out, every Wisconsin state employee has a responsibility to protect confidential data and information. This is all pretty standard stuff in lines of, you know, workplace safety, due process, equal rights. And so, again, if you're hearing a lot of criticism of this, that Governor Evers is standing with the Venezuelan drug cartels or something like that, now you know a little bit more about the actual legal advice that is in there. It doesn't strike me, Melissa, that the governor is working in cahoots with Venezuelan drug gangs, near as I can tell.
I that's the best I can tell as well. It certainly was not, when I worked for the governor, I wasn't aware of any strong alliances with any cartels. No. But I was very aware of a commitment to doing what's best for the people of our state. And I think that's what we're seeing here.
That's exactly it. Turning to a climate matter, and again, making our public buildings greener and cleaner. There was a press release from the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction yesterday, and I really want to salute whoever was the writer on this, because there was no need to mince words coming from the Wisconsin DPI, taking a shot at the Trump administration right off the top, saying, following the elimination of the U.S. Department of Education Green Ribbon Schools program, Wisconsin has launched its own initiative through Green and Healthy Schools Wisconsin to spotlight schools that are leading the way in environmental stewardship. And the Environmental Stewardship and Sustainability Award is first going to West De Pere High School and Mahone Middle School in Kenosha, all about reducing environmental impact and cost, support student and staff wellness, and advance environmental literacy through their school communities. Melissa, this is something that we've talked about consistently, is that in this age of Trump cutbacks, we could sit here and wring our hands. There could be a lot of wailing and gnashing of teeth. But what we've done instead is say, well, the work has to be done locally, at the state level, the local level, that it's not all woe is me. We can all still show leadership in our own various circles.
Absolutely. And I think that we saw, you know, we saw that happen during the first Trump administration, and we're seeing that happen again now. And you know, that's you know, not that there are many bright spots here in this second term, but you know, one of the silver linings is that we had a lot of you know, subnational organizations, whether that's local government, state government, nonprofits, community organizations, really learn a lot in that first term. You know, what can they do at a more local level, and how can they continue to advance climate friendly policies that are smart and going to make a difference and move the needle. And, you know, it's not like that work stopped under the Biden administration. It just had a lot of support from the federal government back then, which was wonderful. But now they we're seeing that a lot of these organizations are very well equipped to continue making progress and move this work forward. So it's really wonderful to see it happening. And it's especially great to see it happening in our schools. And you know that it's a way that schools are, you know, able to save money and have cleaner, healthier classroom environments for kids to learn in and, you know, educators and staff to work in. And it's something I think that's great too. Also, in the release that you were just talking about, they discussed a little bit more about Environmental Education Week in Wisconsin, which Superintendent Underly had announced. So I think that's really a great component of this too, is that we know that the kids are learning about the environment. They are much more aware of, you know, kind of how everything comes together and, you know, how they can make their natural spaces cleaner and healthier, how we can move forward into, you know, a clean energy economy. And I think it's really wonderful to know that, you know, this is a priority for our kids too, in this state still, you know, they're still learning about science and climate and doing it in a way that is going to be interesting and exciting to them.
And one of the other things related to this with energy and delivering, you know, electricity to places is a topic that we'll cover in a future discussion here, because we've run out of time today for it. But there is a bill about building new power transmission lines in Wisconsin, and it's one of those unusual bills, Melissa, where it doesn't cut neatly between parties, that there are folks who support this particular bill about who gets first dibs at building new transition lines in the state versus whether it should be much more of a, you know, a national process. And so I'm just going to speak very generally in the minute we have left here, because we'll get into the specifics later. But it's almost refreshing sometimes when a bill comes up and it's not very cleanly Democratic or Republican, that you can actually talk about the merits of a bill and whether it passes or not. And I would imagine we'll get into that in a discussion real soon.
Yeah, I mean, who knew that legislatures could still do that? It's wonderful to see a robust debate on a piece of legislation. But I hope to see it come together in a way that is, you know, actually protecting our residents and, you know, keeping rates low and not just making this a, you know, giveaway to wealthy big corporations.
And that's the main thing here that we are watching here is, you know, how much of this is just about what companies build power lines versus who's looking out for the consumers, who's looking out for the environment as well as part of this process. Melissa Baldoff, this is going to be fun. Thanks for being along for the first edition. Have a great day. We'll talk again real soon.
Sounds good.
All right. And we will continue here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on this Wednesday morning. It is April 23rd. Tomorrow, Joe Zepecki, Chad Holmes, and Sarah Godlewski. Remember, you can follow my team at Up North News all day long through our newsletters, through social media, through our website, upnorthnewswi.com. And of course, right here, Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow, reminding you to never let this nation fall short of its full promise, liberty and justice for all.
Work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers. The Todd Albaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch the Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
News, I'm Sherry Preston. The body of Pope Francis brought to St. Peter's Basilica this morning in a solemn ceremony. He will lie in state there for 3 days until his funeral on Saturday.
What comes next after Saturday's funeral and burial? The conclave, that ancient process, all the cardinals gathering in the Sistine Chapel, sworn to secrecy to choose the next
now
pope.
From no date the for that has heart of downtown Chippewa
Vatican
Falls.
Vatican will say it should be 15 to 20 days after the death of a pope.
ABC's Terry Moran at the Vatican.
Several good coffee
evacuation
shops
orders
from
have been lifted for thousands who were told to leave
the
their homes
the
because of a fast-moving wildfire along the Jersey
and
Shore.
We're going to do this throughout the
Garden
course
State
of
Parkway
the
New
Jersey
shut down because of smoke, the fire about 10% contained. An earthquake with a preliminary magnitude of 6.2 shook Istanbul, Turkey today, leading people to rush out of homes and buildings in a panic despite some strong aftershocks. No reports of damage or injury. Stock futures pointing toward a higher open this morning.
One of the things is that there is another candidate for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District. That's the one with Derek Van Orden. Parts of central Wisconsin and a big chunk of western Wisconsin. And it's now three women running, all three women from the Eau Claire area. Tell us about the third candidate to get into the race.
Yeah, the third is Laura Benjamin. She was a former Eau Claire City Council member, now very involved with a lot of activist groups out here, was involved in the hands-off protest a couple weeks ago. And she, her announcement was kind of a town hall-esque event, which have clearly become very popular in recent weeks as we saw Mark Pocan down in La Crosse yesterday for a town hall waiting for, you know, Derek Van Orden to host a public event in the district itself instead of just kind of the remote events. So she took a lot of questions, kind of painted herself as the most progressive of the three candidates. An interesting event for sure. And a lot of, you know, community excitement to kind of get these questions specifically answered.
Yeah, and I'm going to put on my political analyst hat here for a moment. When you say that she's painting herself as the most progressive candidate, and that works wonderfully when you're running in a place like Eau Claire or Madison or what have you. There are, the conventional wisdom, of course, is that in a purple district like the third, and it is still purple, Derek Van Orden's wins have been very narrow, is that, you know, folks want to run more toward the center, want to be more of a moderate. You know, Brad Paff tried that a couple of years back. Rebecca Cook did recently. And since Donald Trump's win in November, there have been all kinds of folks saying, nope, that Democrats need to stop running to the middle. They need to really stand up for their values, their progressive values. And so I think this is a sign of coming attractions, where you're going to have candidates who very purposefully are running even more to the left or even more to the center. And so in the case of Laura Benjamin, it sounds like she has chosen her lane as to where she thinks there is going to be the appeal for votes in 2026.
Yeah, and that was actually a question that I did ask her before the town hall portion of the event yesterday was, you know, there's been a lot of pushback on things at the federal level. There's been a lot of organizing across the country. And, you know, it does seem like there maybe is more of an appetite now for that further to the left progressive figure in these positions. Whether or not that's going to be enough to kind of keep up with Rebecca Cook, who won the primary last election and narrowly lost to Derek Van Orden already. I was also, you know, even just thinking the last time I think I saw you in person was at her announcement party.
Yes.
When a cow was trying to eat my jacket while she was speaking.
Yes. We were in a big old dairy barn there in Chippewa Falls. And since that time, Eau Claire City Council President Emily Berge has announced her candidacy. So again, you've got three women from the Eau Claire area. You've got Emily Berge and Rebecca Cook, and now Laura Benjamin as well. And look, I don't have any kind of inside information. I'm just saying, I'm playing the odds here, that with three people running from Eau Claire, there, I would bet you, are people in either the La Crosse area or the Stevens Point area thinking there might be a lane for them in this race. And it's a long way till the Democratic primary. So I would not put money down that these are going to be the only three candidates.
Yeah, and that's another question that I asked both Emily Berge and Laura Benjamin, if the early announcement from Cook did kind of change their timelines for when they wanted to announce their campaigns and put themselves in the race. Both kind of said, not really. Emily Berge last week told me that, you know, she just wanted to make sure people knew there were other options in the Democratic primary if they wanted to support a different candidate this time. She wanted to get her name out there early.
All right. And some of the other stories you're covering include, in Hudson, they're looking at building a new athletic complex. And I don't just mean like one softball field.
Yeah, no, a very big 22 acres of land athletic complex, 5 turf fields. The town board voted on a zoning change earlier this week to create kind of this new recreational youth district for the land. It was purchased by the Hudson Boosters, so privately owned, but they're kind of looking to become that regional hub for youth sports and improve the offerings that they have in the area. A lot of residents who showed up at the town hall were saying, you know, we barely have enough leagues and fields to play on as it is for the kids we have here. So this would benefit the local community, and maybe you get a little extra economic boost from having tournaments and whatnot.
I would bet a big boost, given that in the Twin Cities there, when Blaine built a big old complex, now this is many years ago, but I mean, they became like the epicenter for sports, and it brings a lot into the economy, all those sports parents and all those kids getting meals and needing hotel rooms. And then finally, the Eau Claire Marathon's coming up.
Yeah, Saturday and Sunday this weekend, there's going to be a whole lot of running in Eau Claire. I used to be a runner myself, have never dared to run 26.2 miles. I always think it's funny that the legend of the marathon was created because a Greek soldier way back in the day had to run 26.2 miles with important war information and promptly died upon his arrival at his location.
Drop dead. So let's celebrate that. That's why I'm glad you said it was Saturday and Sunday, because I would need both days to run something like that now with these knees. James Kelly is a Civic Media reporter for Chippewa Falls for the Chippewa Valley. Thank you very much, James. Have a wonderful day.
You too, Pat.
All right. Good to talk to you. And again, coming up tomorrow, we will have Sarah Godlewski on with us, along with Joe Zepecki. Thanks to today's guests, and there were a lot of them here on day one: Melissa Kay, Melissa Baldoff, Denise Gomer Hutchison, Representative Ahmad Rivera Wagner, Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich, William Garcia, Todd Alba, James Kelly, and all of you for being here this morning. I'm Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News, the Wisconsin home for Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy newsroom. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. See you tomorrow.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The body of Pope Francis now lying in state, and members of the public are filing past.
I'm Patrick Reval at St. Peter's Square. There are hundreds of people lined up here waiting to pay their respects to Pope Francis as he lies in St. Peter's Basilica. It's a mixture of tourists and pilgrims. They'll have 3 days now to pay their respects until the funeral on Saturday.
The conclave will be held after that. All of the cardinals gathering the Sistine Chapel sworn to secrecy as they choose the next pope. Thousands of people in Ocean County, New Jersey, who had been told to evacuate their homes, have now been told they can go return. They were cleared out as a wildfire continues to burn. Security stepped up across Indian-controlled Kashmir a day after an attack that killed at least 26 people, most of them tourists. In Istanbul, Turkey, people ran out of their homes and offices at a magnitude 6.2 earthquake that rattled the city. No reports of serious damage or injuries. This is ABC News.